A lot of people wonder, why doesn't God answer my prayers? Or why doesn't God answer at least most of my prayers? Hey, it's Pastor John Haggard at Treasure Top. Today I want to share a 60-second radio message on that question, why doesn't God answer my prayers? I think we've all wondered that from time to time. The 60-second radio message is fast-paced because there's a time limit for radio, but after the message, we'll jump into more details. What we really want to understand is, if we look at God as a vending machine, you know, where you put something in and expect to get something out, we're expecting a return on our timetable, but God doesn't work on our timetable. Have you noticed? He works on His. And at the end of this podcast, I want to share another story about how we were able to help someone who recently came out of prison. It's a result of your contributions, your support, and your prayers. Now, here's the radio message. Have you ever wondered, why doesn't God answer my prayers? Hi, it's Pastor John Haggard at treasuretop.com. The short answer is, God actually does answer our prayers. There's the yes answer, the no answer, and the not right now answer. And that can be frustrating, especially when we believe we've done everything right to get an answer. One of the reasons why God may not answer our prayers is unconfessed sin. Sin is that barrier between us and God, and it hinders our communication with Him. If we harbor sin in our hearts, it can prevent us from receiving an answer to our prayers. So we got to confess our sins and ask for forgiveness before we approach God in prayer. Another reason why God may not answer our prayers is a lack of faith. The Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. For more on this topic and others, subscribe to my podcast and free newsletter at treasuretop.com. That's treasuretop.com. So, as promised, let's take a more in-depth look at the question, why doesn't God answer my prayers? Matthew 7:7-8 in the Bible says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened." You say, "Well, that sounds like a good deal to me, Pastor. How do I get that? Just ask, and I will receive." Theologian John Piper said, "What do those promises mean? Do they mean that everything you asked for, when you asked for it, you'd get? Your experience tells you, I suppose it doesn't mean that because that doesn't happen." And then John goes on to say, "If you can boss God around, you're God." So think about the answering of prayers this way. If you could ask any prayer and get anything you wanted, what about the next person? What if they wanted you to do something that you didn't want to do? And that's what would happen if God answered all of our prayers. And did you know that God cannot please everybody? Think about a sports contest like football or volleyball. Almost always, one team wins and another loses. Those who win are happy and those who lose are unhappy. One thing we need to know before the question, why doesn't God answer my prayers, is answered. Romans 11:33 says, "Oh, how great are God's riches in wisdom and knowledge! How impossible it is for us to understand His decisions and His ways! For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to give Him advice?" Since it's impossible for us to understand God's decisions and His ways, let's look at some of the reasons why God may not answer our prayers. And then let's also look at what can we do to receive answers to our prayers. First off, I think God actually does answer all of our prayers. There's the yes answer, there's the no answer, and there's the not right now answer. One reason why God may not answer our prayers is to build our faith. Hebrews 11:6 in the NIV version of the Bible says, "And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." So when we pray, we are essentially asking God to do something for us. However, when God doesn't immediately answer our prayers, it can be an opportunity for us to trust in His plan and have faith that He will provide for us in His own time. And the Bible actually encourages us to have faith, even during trials and tribulations. James 1, 2-4 says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." Romans 5:3-5 in the NIV. "Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Another reason why God may not answer our prayers is that our requests may not, and get this, align with His will. God has a plan for each one of us, and sometimes the things we pray for may not be a part of His plan. And in such cases, God may choose not to answer our prayers because He knows what's best for us in the long run. He can see the ending that we cannot see. And not choosing to answer is another way of God saying no to that prayer. I mentioned this on another podcast, but I think it bears repeating that in my own life, I too was praying and praying and praying for a prayer to be answered, and it never was answered until it was. About 25 years ago, I was in love with this girl that I thought, man, this is my match made in heaven, true heaven on earth. One day I came home and on my kitchen counter was an envelope. When I opened it up, it was a Dear John letter, though I didn't think it was so dear at the time. She wanted a break from the relationship, and it crushed me. I wanted her to come back, but she did not want to. Long story short, had I ended up marrying her, it would have been one of the worst mistakes, if not the worst mistake, that I could have ever made. And that's not to say it was only because of her or to blame her. You know, it does take two to tango, as the saying goes. But God could see what I could not see. And I was living in the flesh and not the spirit. I was going on how I felt in my heart, but we know that feelings lie. And I was relying on feelings instead of God's plan and God's wisdom for my life. And He knew it would have been a disaster. So God chose not to answer my prayer by remaining silent. I believe that His silence was the no answer in my case. And if we go to Scripture, James 4:3 warns us about asking for things that are not in line with God's will. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. And here's an example of what James is talking about. For example, if two unmarried people are living together in sin, and let's say one of them is praying to have a child, for example, even though they are not married, the Bible says in Psalm 66:18, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. So this verse reminds us that if we have unconfessed sin in our hearts, God will not listen to our prayers. Therefore, we need to confess our sins and seek forgiveness before approaching God in prayer. If we are not following God's commandments or we are living a life that is not in accordance with His teachings, we should not be surprised that He may choose not to answer our prayers. So we need to reflect on our actions and make changes to our lives so that we can live in accordance with God's plan before we can expect answers to our prayers. As the Bible says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And so think about it, if we are living unrighteously, why would we expect our prayers to be answered? The Bible tells us that God listens to us when we pray according to His will. 1 John 5, 14-15 says, and this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of Him. Did you notice in that verse the words, according to His will? So how do we know what the will of God is? Well, one way to know is, does our prayer request line up with Scripture? What does the Bible say about the situation I am living in or the way I'm acting? John 15:7 reminds us that if we abide in God and His words abide in us. John 15:7 reminds us that if we abide in God and His words abide in us, we can ask whatever we wish and it will be done for us. That's why it's so important to live a life that honors God and is aligned with His will if we want our prayers answered. Now, there's another reason God may also choose not to answer our prayers immediately, and it's because He has different timing than we do. Sometimes we may want God to act on our requests right away, but God may have a bigger plan in mind that requires patience and perseverance on our part. We have to learn to trust in God's timing and have faith that He will answer our prayers at the right time. And this is the not right now answer that I talked about earlier. Isaiah 55:8-9 in the NIV says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Here's another reason God may not answer our prayers. God may choose to answer our prayers in a way that is different from what we expected. Because God's ways are not our ways, it's important for us to have faith that God's way is the best way and to trust in His plan. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him and He will make your paths straight." Philippians 4:6-7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And one more verse, 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you." This passage reminds us that we don't have to carry our burdens alone. We can bring all of our worries and fears to God in prayer and trust that He cares for us and will provide for us. By placing our anxieties and prayer requests on Him, we can experience a sense of peace and security in His presence. It's also important to be humble. The Bible says, "Humble yourselves before the Lord and He will lift you up," James 4:10. This means we should approach God with humility and acknowledge that we are dependent on Him. We need to admit we are solely dependent upon Him. Did you know that the very next breath we take is at the sole will of God? And here's a big one on why doesn't God answer my prayers. Patience. If you're anything like me, I also struggle with patience because I too want answers now, not later. But Romans 8:24-25 says, "But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently." What the Apostle Paul is saying as the inspired word of God that he wrote is that we should be patient and trust that God will answer our prayers in His time, and the answer will be one of three answers: yes, no, or not right now. And if you have children, or when you were once a child, you may have said or been told the same answers by your parents or guardians: yes, no, or not right now. We are the children of God, so we should not expect anything more than yes, no, or not right now when it comes to prayer. The last thing I want to tell you as a pastor is that we have to make time for God. Most of the time we're so busy with our own life, rushing off to the next task to do, that we have not set any time for quiet time with God. So how can we expect to hear answers from God when we are so busy that we have made no time for God? If we don't set a daily quiet time to be with God, we should not expect to hear from God. Matthew 6:6 says, "But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." This verse teaches us to pray in private, away from distractions, and to seek God's presence in solitude. Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God." This verse reminds us to be still and quiet before God, to listen to His voice, and to meditate on His word. James 4:8 says, "Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you." Psalm 119:147 says, "I rise before dawn and cry for help. I hope in your words." This verse is telling us the importance of starting our day with prayer and seeking God's guidance throughout the day. And Psalm 1:2 says, "But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law He meditates day and night." What this means is that we should meditate on God's word and to find joy in studying and applying it to our lives. You can do that by putting a Bible app on your phone or have a Bible accessible where you read scripture each day. And if you are starting out or want to reconnect with God's word, you can start out by reading one chapter in the book of Proverbs each day. There are 31 of them, so in 31 days you're done. It has all the wisdom you will ever need to apply to your life, and the reading time is going to be about 10 minutes a day. And then I suggest reading one chapter in the book of John each day. This book explains the meaning of Jesus Christ, and that reading time will also be about 10 minutes. So to get the word, you've got to get in the word. And before you start reading, ask God to speak to you and to point out what He wants you to understand and do today from His word. So we're learning that prayer is not just about asking for things, but also about building a relationship with God. Spending time in prayer can help us grow closer to Him and understand His will for our lives. Bottom line, if we will follow what has been said through God's word in this podcast, we can begin to align our prayers with God's will and increase the chances of our prayers being answered. Ultimately, the key to getting answers to our prayers is to trust in God's plan and to have faith that He will provide for us in His own time and in His own way. As we align our prayers with His will and live our lives according to His teachings, we can experience the peace and security that comes from being in His presence. Now, just one other note. In addition to all of the reasons we've discussed, there may be other factors at play that we may not be aware of. So it's important to remember that we are not always able to understand God's ways, but we can trust that He is working all things for our good. Romans 8:28. As we wrap up, we've learned that there are many reasons why God may not answer the prayers we pray to Him in the way that we want Him to answer. It's important to remember that God has a plan for each one of us, and He knows what is best for us in the long run. We must trust in His plan and have faith that He will provide for us in His own time. Sometimes God may be saying we need to pass the next test He has put before us before He can work change into our hearts. By aligning our prayers with His will, and here's the key, living a life that is pleasing to Him and that honors Him, we can increase the chances of our prayers being answered. Now, as I promised earlier, I'd like to share another story about how we were able to help someone who recently came out of prison. It's a result of your contributions, whether financial or your prayers. I received a message recently from a man in Dallas, Texas, who said he recently got out of prison and needed $8 for a bus fare to get to work. Now, some people might say, you know, he's in Dallas and you're in Nashville. Surely someone in Dallas will give him $8 for bus fare. Doesn't he have at least one friend who would lend him the $8 and then he could pay that person back out of his next paycheck? Well, maybe someone would, or maybe he has no friend at this point. I don't really know. It's not for me to judge that. However, to be a good steward of God's money, it is important to discern with wisdom and then to make a judgment based on that discernment. In this case, I asked for God's direction, and while I did not hear Him speak into my ear, I was prompted to send him the money anyway, which I did. It's been some time since we sent him the money, and we didn't start receiving requests from Dallas or other cities for money all of a sudden. But still, there's some who would say, Pastor, aren't you opening yourself up to requests all across the country for $8 here and there or whatever it is? How do you know it wasn't a scam? Well, I don't, but I believe we need to act on God's prompting in the heart by comparing the request to what Scripture says. And that's important, for we all know that feelings lie, and we should not make our decisions on feelings alone. Now, we certainly screen the requests we get for donations or other support, and we also try to help find resources in the local area where someone lives to lend assistance. The Bible reminds us of the importance of giving money to those in need, but also encourages us to use wisdom and discernment in our giving that I was talking about. Luke 6:30 instructs us to give to everyone who asks of you, and whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. Additionally, James 1:5 reminds us that wisdom is from the Lord and we should seek it in prayer. In Matthew 10:16, Jesus tells us to be wise as serpents and innocent as doves, meaning we should use discernment in our giving. Proverbs 3:27-28 also advises us not to withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in our power to act. Therefore, while we should be generous and loving in our giving, we should also use wisdom and discernment to ensure that our giving is effective and not taken advantage of. Did you know that you get to choose where you are going to spend eternity when offered that opportunity? Jesus said in John 6:44 in the NIV version of the Bible, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day." If God is drawing you, right now is your invitation to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. We never know when our last day on earth alive will be, and that's why it's so important to accept Christ now, because there are no do-overs. There are no second chances to accept Christ once we have died a physical death, meaning there is no second chance to get into heaven. Here's the prayer you can pray out loud or just say to yourself, "Me too, Lord. Jesus, please come into my heart. I proclaim you my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of my sins." If you just prayed that prayer and really mean it in your heart, for only God can save you, and He knows what is true in all of our hearts, congratulations! And would you let me know about it? Email me, john@treasuretop.com. That's john@treasuretop.com. I'd love to send you a free resource on the next steps you can take as a new Christian now that you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you'd like to help us spread the good news of Jesus Christ, you can go to our website, treasuretop.com, and just press the Give button on the top menu, or you can text the word GIVE to 844-533-1590. That's the word GIVE to 844-533-1590. And if you prefer, you can also mail your gift to P.O. Box 210, 615, Nashville, 37221. And by the way, if you are unable to give financial support, your prayers for Treasure Top are just as important. Would you pray for us that these messages will be responsible in helping more people get into heaven? And as you know, I do not take a salary from Treasure Top. My heart is to help as many people as I can get into heaven. And there's no greater calling than to be responsible for someone hearing the Word of God and for that person giving his or her life to Jesus Christ to enjoy eternal life in heaven. If you'd like to be notified of our latest podcast episodes, click on the episode and press the word subscribe. You can also share our podcast with friends or people you know who need an encouraging word. Just click that podcast message and you'll see the word share next to the word subscribe. And you can also download any episode if you like. Until next time, it's Pastor John Haggard praying, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.